You know, I was thinking about the first time I ever came to this church. And I walked in and I came in the back of this sanctuary. And I looked up at this beautiful wooden cross and I remember thinking, wow. I remember thinking how beautiful this sanctuary is. And I can tell you 25 years later, when I walk into this sanctuary and I see that beautiful cross and I see this beautiful woodwork and I see this beautiful sacred space, I still think, wow. But the reason that I came that first day had to do with a 12-month-old baby, my little girl who was 1 year old, named Emily. And I looked at that baby and I thought, you know, I want her to know not only about God, but I want her to know God. And I knew that I was ill-equipped to do that. I did not have what it took to be the one to raise her up in God's love. So I looked for a community of people that could help me do that. And I sort of stumbled in here, and that is exactly what has happened. But not only did that community of people help my daughter, but certainly that community of people has fed me and helped me. And so right after I came here, one of the first things that someone said to me was, you know, you should go to a Bible study. And so at that time, the Bible study was being led by Reverend Tom Snyder. And many of you probably remember Tom. And he was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. So I began to attend his Bible study class, and that poor man, I must have asked him 100 questions, and he patiently and graciously answered every question that he could, and sometimes we would research them together. Well, a year went by, and I looked so forward to going to his class, but a year went by, and then he was moved to a different church, and he asked me to lead that Bible study class. And I can remember so well thinking, what? I'm not prepared for that. But on reflection and on prayer, I thought, you know, if he has confidence in me, I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a try. And that was over 25 years ago, and I have been privileged to lead Bible study in this church pretty much continuously ever since then. What I didn't know that first day I walked in here and what I didn't know when I set foot into Tom Snyder's Bible study class was that I was taking my first baby step on a discipleship path that would last my whole life. So what I hope that we could explore together today are these questions. What is a disciple? Why do I want to be one? And how do I do that? So what is a disciple? Well, we know in the Bible, we know as we read through the Gospels, that Jesus had a group of men, maybe some women, around him that traveled with him, that ate with him, that listened to his sermons, were taught by him. They watched his miracles. And so basically, they did life with him. So we could say that a disciple is someone who does life with Jesus. That's what they did then, and that's what we can do now. So I think a great definition of a disciple of Jesus is someone who does life with Jesus. So how do we do that? You know, well, I guess I should answer my second question next, which is, why do you want to be a disciple? Well, the ultimate goal, of course, of being a disciple is to have a deeper and deeper, richer and richer, closer and closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But the hard question becomes, how do I do that? And I hear that a lot, and I have felt that myself in my own life. I'm not sure what next step to take. I know there's more, but I'm not sure how to get there. So I'd like to start with Bible study. Big surprise, right? That is my passion. So I'm going to ask you to indulge me a little bit. And if I could have the 2 Timothy scripture up now. Kathy had read this scripture, and I appreciate it, and I'd like to read it again. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking to his friend Timothy. He's writing him a letter, and he's talking about scripture, and he talks about how important it is in the life of a disciple. And he says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. So that we know Bible study is important. Sometimes I think people are a little intimidated by Bible study. I hear often, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to do it. Well, I'm happy to tell you that within this community of faith, we almost always offer some sort of Bible study. I'm here to help you. There are many other people that are here to help you. And starting next week, next Sunday morning, both at 9:15 and at 10:30, right after this service, and right before this, and during this service, there's going to be a Bible study called Disciple Fast Track, and we're studying the New Testament. Now, this is a Bible study that takes a little bit of work, a little bit of reading. It's a 12-week study that goes over the major themes of the New Testament. It's a great place to start, but I'm going to warn you, it takes a little bit of work that is worth it. So I invite you. I'm going to be leading the 10:30 class, which will happen right after this service. John Wilson is going to be leading the 9:15 class, and I invite you to come. So here's something else I'm going to invite you to do. I'm going to invite you to take a little trip with me. But lucky for you, you can stay right in your seats. But we're going to take a trip together. And I want to set the scene for the trip that we're going to take. This is a period of time in time where Jesus has just been tried, found guilty, crucified, and now resurrected. It's the same day as the resurrection. And what's going on is two of his followers, are leaving Jerusalem and they're heading towards a town called Emmaus. So what I'd like you to do, and if you don't get it, this is a mini Bible study. I'd like you to put yourself in the story. If you can use your imagination and put yourself in the story. And let's travel with these two people that are leaving Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other all about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." He was alive. "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" Were our hearts not burning when he was talking to us? That's why I chose this story. That's why I chose this scripture. What must it have been like to be walking along the road and Jesus is with you, explaining the scriptures to you? What I'd like to tell you today is that can still happen to you today. Your hearts can still be burning as you open up the Bible to study it. Jesus can still speak to you today through the scripture. That's how God speaks to me most clearly within the scripture. And that is a big part of my discipleship journey, is study of the Bible and reading of the Bible. But you know, that's not the only way. That's not the only way. What does it look like to start on that discipleship journey? What components are there within it? Well, we've talked about one, which is Bible study. And maybe you're saying to yourself, Bible study, fine, but I guess I could do that, maybe, maybe not. What other ways could I start? And I want to tell you about a great way to start. We have a course that's going to start a week from Wednesday on September 25th, and it's called Alpha. And I know some of you have taken Alpha in this church in the past. Well, Alpha is back. Woohoo! We're happy. I thank God for the leaders who have agreed to lead this congregation in Alpha. Well, what is Alpha? It's like Christianity 101. Do you have questions about the major topics in Christianity, like the Bible, prayer, who is Jesus, who is God, why should I come to church? You know what? Those are the topics of Alpha. So I highly urge you, and if not you, you to invite someone you know that could really benefit from this course. So Alpha starts Wednesday the 25th. It involves a meal, a video, and time around the table to really discuss real issues. So if I could have the graphic of the discipleship circle, I would appreciate that. I think in your bulletins you may have this same graphic. So at the top of the graphic, we've talked about scripture. And as we move to the right, the Bible, as we move to the right, we see prayer. Prayer is an important component of our discipleship journey. And you know, over the years, a lot of people have said to me, have asked me about prayer and have said, you know, I don't have a rich prayer life. I am not sure how to pray. I don't know if I'm doing it right. Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? If you have those questions, you are not the only one. Well, I'm just going to blatantly give another commercial. Do you know that we're going to have a course that's starting also on Wednesday, September 25th? It's a prayer course. It's a course on exactly those questions. It's based on the Lord's Prayer. It's 8 weeks of exploring different kinds of prayer, different ways to pray, and learning about prayer as Jesus taught it. So I invite you to that. If you want to shore up your prayer life, this is a wonderful way to do that. As we continue to move around our circle in the prayer graphic, our next next topic is Sabbath. And that's such an interesting word and such an interesting concept, because it's one that we are not very familiar with in our society. Do you agree with me that we're running a lot? I mean, is that the way your life is? It's the way mine is. And what Sabbath reminds us is, yes, we're busy. And there are times when it's appropriate to be busy, but there are absolutely times to carve out in your schedule that are not busy, that you are not working, that you are resting, and that you are resting in God's love. And what is the goal of that? It's the same goal of all of these components of this graphic that we're looking at. It's to move closer towards the center. And I don't know if you can see very well what's in the center of that. You can probably see it on your sheets. What's in the center? Jesus. Jesus is in the center. Jesus is who we are moving toward. As we continue around our circle, we get to witness. Witness. That scares people. It makes people sweat a little bit. But here's what I want to say about witness. Here's a great way to think about witness. Witness is saying to someone, this is what my life as a disciple of Jesus has done for me. This is my story. This is the way it used to be. And then I met Jesus, and now this is the way it is. That's not so scary. It's your own story. No one can tell you that you're wrong. No one can tell you that it's not true. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, and it has made your life better, and it's transformed you, you want to share that with others. You want others to have that same kind of experience. That's witness. Next, we get to Christian community life groups, small groups. Pastor Christopher mentioned the group study that we had just completed last week called I Love My Church. Many of you participated in those small groups and in that book study and Bible study, and I did too, and it was such a blessing. It really was a lot of fun. Some of the members of my group are here, and we liked it so much we decided to continue on. Why is it important? Why are small groups important? You know, life is hard. It is. I mean, there are so many challenges. One way to help make life easier and make life more meaningful is to do life not only with Jesus, but with other people who are also believers, other like-minded people, to be in a group where you can ask real questions. None of this superficial stuff that we have going on in the world, in the secular world. Oh, how are you? Oh, this is what the weather's like. You know, you have some real challenges. You do and I do. We all do. And it is such a blessing to be able to discuss those things, to be prayed for, to be taught, to teach others, to be held to accountability, and be called to hold others to accountability. I think being in a small group is one of the best ways to deepen your relationship with Jesus through deepening your relationship with others within your community of faith. So, here's another commercial for you. I'm excited about this. You know, Christmas is coming. It comes every year. Did you know that? It's going to be here. And the first Sunday in Advent, if you can believe it, is December 2nd. And even though that may seem like a long way away, you know, we're in the middle of September, we all know that December is here this fast. This December, for Advent, we are going to be, as a church, studying a book called Sent, S-E-N-T, Sent. It's also going to be a book study, Bible study, small group study in the same pattern as the I Love My Church. Well, if you missed the I Love My Church experience of being in a small group, you have another chance, because there's leaders and helpers who have said, we will have groups. And what you can do, they're different times. Some are on Sundays, some are during the week, some are during the day, some are during the evening. There should be one that you would be able to make and to make time for in your schedule, and it will be a blessing to you. So I highly urge you to find a Sent group when the time comes, and just test it out. You'll be amazed at what a blessing it will be for you. So that's small groups. If I could have the graphic again, Jason. As we move around the circle, we get to generosity, and that's giving and that's tithing. You know, in the Methodist Church, or at least in this Methodist Church, October has always been the month for the stewardship campaign. So, Paul, I'm going to call you out. Many of you know Paul Turner. Paul is our finance chair, and Paul has taken on the role of the stewardship chair. He's heading up the stewardship campaign, and he is working hard. Thank you. Thank you. And there are some exciting things. I've gotten a preview of the stewardship campaign, and it's going to be exciting. There are exciting things happening in this church. There's been a lot of change, and there's been a lot of growth in many ways. Why do we give? Why is that on this discipleship graphic? Well, we give, or we should give, because of our gratefulness and our thankfulness for all the bounty that God has given to us. And out of our gratitude for the many, many blessings that God has given to us, we give back. So during the stewardship campaign, I would ask you to participate fully in all that Paul and his team has planned for us. Our next item around the circle is serving. And as I look out at this group and so many familiar faces, so many people that I love and cherish who have helped me on my discipleship pathway, I see a lot of people who have done a lot of serving. Serving this church, serving each other, serving the larger community. Why do we do that? Well, we do it because Jesus himself said, I came not to be served, but to serve. So we want to be like Jesus in that way. We want to serve each other. We want to serve the greater community. Also out of a sense of gratitude for all that God has done for us. And if you are saying to yourself, well, I'd like to do that. I'm just not sure where I fit in with that. You know, there are people to help you with that. Pastor Christopher, Jason, me, the missions committee, Pat Norris is here. Pat, I'm calling you out too with missions. There are places to serve. But one of the things that I love best about serving that I think to myself all the time is, I think this is a great philosophy. If you see a need and you can fill it, do it. Do it right there. All right, as we continue to move around the circle, our last graphic, our last topic in the graphic is worship. Well, here we are. Here we are in this beautiful sacred space. What is worship? It's the community of faith coming together to show reverence to a God that we love, to praise God, and really to open ourselves to the opportunity to have a dynamic experience with the living God. We have three opportunities for that on a Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. Very faithful community that I just spoke to. Gave me a lot of smiles. The 9:15, here we are. And an 11 o'clock service. But you know, we have another service set on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays. So we have four worship services in this church. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that you are faithful to worship as much as you can, because there's something about being with a community of believers that can kindle your faith, that can keep your spark going, that can keep your heart burning bright. So here we have ways that we can step onto this path of discipleship. I told you that mine is the way that I dive in fully 100% is Bible study. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you love to serve. Maybe you feel closest to God during worship. It's all valid. It's all fantastic. It's all a way to move us towards the middle, which is Jesus. So now the big finale. Are you ready? You ready for the big ending? After all my years of study, after all the time that I've spent in Scripture, reading and studying, would you like me to answer the question of what is the ultimate truth of life, the universe, and everything? Would you like to know that? Well, my answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know who the answer is. The answer is Jesus. So the goal of discipleship is to come closer and closer and closer to that ultimate truth in the middle. So every time we come to worship and praise and celebrate with the community of faith, we get to move a little bit closer to that center. And every time we open up the Bible, even if we're a little unsure about it, and we try to read it, we move a little bit closer to that ultimate truth that is Jesus. Every time we carve out some quiet time in our schedules to just be with God, to just talk to Him, to just listen to what He has to say with us in prayer, we get to move a little bit closer to that truth that is Jesus. And every time we say, I'm not going to work right now, I am going to rest right now, and I am going to just rest in the love of God and celebrate and practice Sabbath, closer, closer. When I tell someone that I love, or when I tell someone in need, or when I tell someone who really needs to hear a positive story about my experience with Jesus and what it has meant to me, how it has changed my life to have a deep and loving relationship with Jesus, I get to move closer. I get to move closer. Every time I meet with a community of faith, a few people that can help me on my journey, explain things to me, just love me for who I am, I get to be closer. And every time I give because I want to, because I'm remembering how much I've been given, I'm closer. And every time I see a need and I meet it, every time I'm intentional about being in service to those who need it, well, I move closer to this ultimate truth in the middle, who is Jesus. So it's movement. The discipleship path is we move along it. It's a journey that we take, and we take it together. I'm on it. It's a surprising and exciting and crazy, lifelong journey, and I hope you're on it. I look so forward to being on this journey with all of you as we move closer and closer to a deeper and deeper love relationship with Jesus. Amen.